You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone loves the bubbles. Hello, everyone, and welcome to an exciting new episode of Low Key on the Wheel of Libertarians Network. I am your host for this evening. My name is Harry, a.k.a. The Moving Target, and we're going to have an interesting video. This video I watched it came on my radar a few months ago, and then one of my streamers that I watch all the time, they were bringing it up, and I was like, you know what? I can't listen to this show because I want to talk about this thing. And I sent it in, and we've been putting it on the back burner, and we're finally going to get talking about the subject. But before I bury the lead on that thing, I'll bury that real quick. Let me introduce everyone onto the show, because you guys know I don't fly solo. I like to bring cast of characters, different people with me. I've got Vincent. Vincent, go say hi.
Hey, everybody. I'm here. As well. I mean, I had to watch this video. I watched this video, so you don't have to.
We can make them watch it.
Yes. So before we get into it, since there is a thing about talking about fighting games and stuff. So Riot and League of Legends are making a fighting game for League of Legends, right?
Ooh, sounds nice.
Right? And it was called Project L in development, you know, because, you know, That's not going to, you know, get memed on at all by calling your thing Project L.
No. Definitely cannot fail, though, by the way.
But then they announce the official name they're going to give it, and it is arguably one of the dumbest names you can give a fighting game.
Jackie's on because did someone say League? Yes. We know our audience.
They changed it from Project L to 2XKO. 2, the number XKO. And it's like, how are you supposed to read this? A, it looks dumb as shit. It looks real dumb. It looks dumb to look at. But it's like, is it 2 times knockout? Is it 2 times KO? Are you supposed to say that's KO or knockout? Or how are you supposed to say this title? Because it looks dumb. And even the people in the fighting game community is like, oh man, the actual game looks pretty cool, but this name is dumb. And this name, literally, one of the fighting game people I watch, Maximilian, he goes, oh, I love everything about it, but that name and logo, though, I would think of something else before that game comes out.
It's okay. Maybe their marketing department is not in charge of anything right now.
Or they got laid off, you know, because that happened. Like,
that's true.
We'll get into that next week when we talk about esports and stuff. Oh, yeah. When we talk about esports next week, we'll get into Riot and their layoffs and all that fun stuff.
Yeah. Joining in late, we got Ryan Hull. Ryan Hull, when you go say hi.
Hello, sorry I'm late.
It's okay.
Work on computers for a living, and my home PC was confusing me. So that tells me what kind of day I'm having.
No. Reinhold just was watching the ERB that came out last Friday for the 107th time.
It's okay. I'll just have to dock his pay. You forced me to do that.
Add it to the list, yeah.
But, yeah, so they just... Do they just have? Is the ChatGPT making the names? Is that what's going on? They're just feeding it in.
I mean, they try to make it as simplistic as possible. It is a tag team fighting game where you can switch back and forth.
Boo.
So to name it, they decided 2XKO. Because it's a tag team fighting game, you see, you need to knock out both people. So we just named it what it is. And I'm just like, no.
So this is 2XQC, is that what you're saying?
2XQC. Oh my god. Don't give me any ideas.
Oh man. No, the League of Legends is making a fighting game and they changed the name from Project L to 2XKO. Which god, they need a better name than that.
Just go back to Project L's.
Yeah, just need a better name than that. Literally, I was watching a video where they were talking about industry stuff, but they had to talk about the name. It's like, dude, you have an entire League of Legends game right there. Just name it after an item. It's in the game. You have hundreds of items. Name it after an item.
Yeah.
Well, they can't do that because they can't even say in the game because that's copyrighted. That's in the game.
It's in the game. Can't say EA that. Sports. Stop it.
There's nothing actually in the game, but it's in the game.
Yeah.
All right. Getting copyright strikes from. Yes.
Like a good neighbor.
No. Just trying to get me zapped.
I'm loving it. It's fun. August.
Terrible. Guys are awful. Giving all
these- here's the thing. I've got that the McDonald's app on my phone, right? So you can call it, you can, you know, order and go pick it up, and you don't have to sit there at the speaker and try to tell the 17-year-old kid what you're trying to order and everything. So it's automatically done. It's on paper. They can't get it wrong. But what they do is that when you place the order and you pay and everything, it comes with the screen and does the ba da ba ba ba, but it doesn't have any sound with it. It's just the words. It's like, dude, you got to put the sound on there, right? That's your logo, your jingle. You got to have that sound.
Like, how much do you think they paid that app developer to make that app? They didn't pay him enough to put sound in that app.
Well, I had to throw a sound file. It's not that hard. I know they own it.
They don't have the rights to that for mobile. They only have the rights for
commercials. They didn't think they were going to have an app.
Yeah.
So somebody else took Google, it up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somebody picked it up for like some random mobile game like 4 years ago that's been sitting on the copyright waiting. It's mm-hmm. like, this is our time. Pay us. Pay us, Mickey D's. We want that jingle money.
McDowell's has it. Drop a lawsuit for the arches. Give your sound back. Oh, man, that's a deep cut joke there.
I mean,
good ones with those jokes.
That, or they could try to sue them again, like they did with the Big Mac in Europe. There was a company that was literally called Big Mac, and they were trying to sue them for using their calling their sandwiches that in Europe before they used it.
Oh my god!
At McDonald's, so they tried to sue them, and McDonald's lost that lawsuit for sure.
Nothing you can do about it. All right, so apparently my mom's probably it. It's like at $30 for two bills. I hope they own it. Yes, thank you.
did you guys see my latest reaction? What is it? What I'm fascinated, the reaction I'm fascinated about right now.
No,
what's that? In the chat. It's a Hassan reacting to
that one. Yeah.
I'm still laughing.
I'm not a fan of Mr. Chair as he's
No, the thing is, he's sitting there going, "Oh, he's wrong. No, it's a CIA thing. No, it's all this. No, it's like, dude, he's going through all the evidence and he's completely destroying any argument that you have, and you just can't handle it.
Reinhold,
your brain just shuts.
You're too Anglo brain to realize that you're wrong. Okay.
All right. Okay. Oh, I've got that all day. I've been talking with some kid about Ukraine and Russia, and he's just like, "You're listening to propaganda." He's like, "You're just too love the state. You don't know." I'm like,
"You're too Anglo brain
to
know anything."
But the opposite would be what the state want. Anyways, no, we're not doing that here. We're not doing that. No. Everyone who came here tonight to talk about racism and in gaming. All right, so Rydell, did you watch your homework assignment?
I did. I have an excuse.
Okay.
What? Like what excuse? This is like the first time like I ever gave like such a long like stretch of time.
I spent 2.5 days last week with a abscess tooth knocking me down and keeping me out of work. I missed two meetings, and on Saturday I was gonna go to the Chris thing, and I was gonna go to the libertarian dinner, and I missed both of those. I was just not doing well.
Yep. That Chris thing is Dear Leader, the guy who runs the podcast network that we are on. They had a podcast and platforms event to get all the
podcasts.
Yep, live podcast, and get a lot of the local podcasters together in a room to help coordinate and help each other out. So a lot of local Indiana podcasters visiting. It looked like a great time. I wasn't there. I was invited. I just had other prior. I paid to go do something else, so I went to go do that. Right. You know. So if anyone was wondering why I was there, that's what I was doing.
Some of us weren't invited, but I didn't even know there.
Got to have a podcast, so. No co-host, just host.
I have a podcast.
Gotta come out more regularly than once every decade. Okay.
There's no rule.
All I know, Reinhold, is that you had time to get a chicken dinner.
I got a chicken dinner this weekend while I was fogging through the antibiotic haze.
It somehow watched this Hassan video, but didn't watch Meet Your Homework.
I watched 10 minutes of the Hassan video. Trust me, the entire thing.
Okay,
I'm through some of the fun parts I knew were going to be in there.
It's like, wait a minute, wasn't that video like 2 hours or something?
It's almost 2 hours, but it's so good. The original video, I saw it when it first came out. It is so good, so well done. The guy is a genius at making those types of videos. He's really good at it.
Yeah. Well, the video in question that we're discussing tonight is from a foreign man in a foreign land. I came from him because he did some collab with the Not Just Bikes. I like watching Not Just Bikes. Radicalized me into embracing bike and biking infrastructure, walking infrastructure, and in strong town stuff. I'm not like the crazy, like the communist side of it. And which when he talks about this stuff, he doesn't lean into it either. And that's what made me be able to absorb the message, because he's not trying to get too political. It's like, no, this is just better because it is, you know, and gives the reasons, not because, oh, no, late stage capitalism, bull crap. It's just, no, this is just better. Why are we giving the city just to use for private vehicle versus like just the people who live here and move around? Anyways, that's the point. But Foreign Man, Foreign Land made his video called Racism in Gaming, which I was watching because a lot of comments, a lot of the parts of it did kind of like trigger the crap out of me, because it just feels like, I don't know how old he is, but I feel like he's either misrendering things or describing things a different thing. Also, that from his upbringing, he also got different upbringing than mine. And then and Vincent too, because I got him the video and he clearly was like, wait a minute. are we saying there's not racist people in gaming? Heck no.
No, there's a bunch of those. There's a bunch of those people that exist.
Bunch of that.
Those people suck. They make the people that actually like games and treat games as an inclusionary thing, yep, as terrible people.
Yeah. Here's the thing about this is that in gaming, there's a lot of anonymity. So it's really hard to tell whether or not the person, you know, you're interacting with is of a different race or whatever, unless there's some sort of sound cues or, you know, things like that. But I can say that I have seen some things relatively recently that blew my mind as a woke person who has seen things and now can't just unsee them, as it were. So, but I will save that for later as you go through this, because I have not seen it. So, but let me just say, as the white male on this podcast, that, you know, my opinion matters here. It's important. It should be heard. Go ahead.
No, so, Randall, you should not be heard.
So one of the things I would like to say about fucking zombie. Oh, God. Zombie wanted a skin drop for us talking about.
Yeah, since I got tattle constantly on League, hoping for a skin drop. The Hogwarts game is very racist. All right, I
haven't played it, so
I haven't played it, so I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. Wouldn't be surprised. Some of the book is racist. Tattling or like just like modding is like big to quenching a lot of the racism. A lot of the early Call of Duty, a lot of the online chat rooms, the reason why they were so awful is for simple fact that there was no modding tools for people in there to kick some of these people out originally, you know? And we were so beholden on like the, you know, well, you just hit the report button. All right. They're still here saying this word for the whole match. So, and if I leave, I get the deserter tag. So I just have to hit mute. Can't hear anything, you know? So
I was going to give like first impressions of the video first, and then we'll go into further deep dives since you and I've watched it, Harry.
Yeah.
For me, first thing is that it felt like he didn't stay on topic.
Yeah.
He reduced this as a racism in gaming, and then instead of focusing and having like a deep dive and look at these things that are problematic and are issues, he kind of spread himself really thin by covering a lot of different topics. It wasn't just the focal point of his video, of the title of what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
For me, because like there's a lot of moments in it where I'm just like, yes, this is a fair argument that we should probably talk about. Mm-hmm. But in this video that's about racism, I'm not here to talk about not racism.
Right.
If it's about racism in games in particular.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Like racism. Because there's a lot of moments where they just add on and just like it gets kind of buzzwordy at sometimes where they just add on different things. Like the comment where they were talking about the local gaming store was having like the fight tournament, and they were talking about just ADA compliancy on like the stage. You're like, mm-hmm. Someone was like, okay, is there anyone there? This is about racism in gaming, but now it's just ADA compliancy, which, yeah. Yeah, there's no wheelchair ramp, but they can have
one. If you're going to do that, they can be talking about sexism in gaming, too, if they want to go down that path. I mean, it's like, why, if you're talking about this one topic, stay on that topic.
Right, that's my point.
Correct, but it's so small, they don't have to fall under ADA compliancy, but... And I'm sure if they have someone in the community, just like the most of the time, like I know like people in the DDR community who have helped people, you know, who have certain disabilities to be able to play the game. You know, it's not that the gamers aren't, but that's not what the subject of the video is.
So. Right. It's like if it was about like more than just, if your title wasn't racism in gaming, it was like the discrimination or like problematic aspects of gaming, and each section was dedicated full time and effort into discussing these things, I would have been totally fine with it. But I felt like that there were some serious topics that only got slightly touched on, in my opinion, in comparison of talking about things.
Yeah,
and that sounds like a great video. We should do that. I should put something together for that. We actually go into the different types of discrimination in gaming and things like that.
Right.
I tried to queue it up to this one point, and apparently I'm having issues getting the video to play. Don't know why. Right. Let me go deal with that. Sorry. The main thing was like when he was talking about like the crash in the beginning, Crash Bandicoot. Mm-hmm. Like, look at this thing. This is racist, and they're playing the drums. I'm just like, Crash Bandicoot? Really?
Yeah. We're stretching. The tiki.
At one point they were trying to say Daffy Duck and Donald Duck with the racism and they try so many things to do so. Now, when they're talking about Hogwarts, that's kind of what they're talking about.
That's a whole other thing.
With the goblins and how they're representative of Jews and stuff like that. But that's
right.
That's a whole different thing. But there are people who make stretches on some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. Where they try to find stuff that's really not there.
Right. So one of those stretches that, in my opinion, that immediately floored me when he said it, that they dedicated time and effort into it, is that they claimed that the reason that there is more white people in gaming is because of white flight. That because a bunch of white people left to the suburbs and took all the money, black people couldn't afford to play games, right. And games was a white community thing, and black people didn't play video games. And that's why there's more white people in gaming than black people in gaming.
Now, like, good thing we brought a historian. So, Reinhold, when did white flight happen? We're not denying white flight happened.
It was 50s and 60s and early 70s, yeah.
Yeah, and that was a thing.
Yep.
But right.
Here's the thing it sounds like maybe he left a few steps out in his explanation of that.
Yes.
Whereas you have a culture of people growing up and you have the white suburbanites who are playing board games, table games, that sort of thing. Whereas the other communities, they're having to kind of make up kind of games because they can't really afford to buy those kinds of games. Mm-hmm. So they're making up other games to play. I mean, it was the same back in the 20s and 30s when they were playing stickball because nobody could afford to buy baseballs and stuff. They were playing stickball in the streets, but that was more of a, an underclass type thing where it was, the Irish and the Germans and everything, and the Italians that were coming in that were kind of pushed to the side. They didn't have as much money or affluence as the other people did. So there's something to say where there might have been a trend towards the more pricier types of games being more available to the suburbanites than the inner city, eventually translates into video games, but it's not like a leap where you can say white flight, boom. Video games.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
The video games that people have played in their areas resemble the things they were doing extracurricular or outside. So like a lot of the solo board games, stuff like that, the RPG stuff style, like D&D, something like that. That's why that translated into the video game styles that a lot of quote unquote white people played in suburbia, Final Fantasy. But the first time I saw Final Fantasy VII was over my friend, honestly, like my Asian friends' houses, they had like
that's true.
But every black person I know had Dragon Ball Z,
right? And it felt like they made this massive leap that in the West, that's why that's the thing. Yep. And I do want to emphasize that they're mostly they're specifically talking about the United States / the West.
Yeah,
for most of the things, correct. Because there's a lot of things that are talking about racism and things where there's one point where the guy one of the guys that he was interviewing was talking about fighting games and stuff and how that a lot of the games made in Japan are super racist towards white people because that's how they see people there. That's how they view them. Mm-hmm. And that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. In Japan, because that's how they view a lot of the outside cultures. Mm-hmm. But they don't really talk about that at all, except for his one little anecdote about it. It's all about how the West represents things based on that concept of racism.
Yeah, which
and there's different levels, different reasons for it because of that too, right? Yeah. So that's where you get into that. So.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, and I give a little credit saying hey, this is where the reverse racism or white racism actually exists in Japan. I'm like, it exists in the United States too, but I'll give you credit for actually giving it to Japan,
right?
Right. I hate the word reverse racism. I mean, it's racism.
It's just racism. Just blatant racism. Yeah, that's the other thing. During the video, they were dropping racist words towards young white people and kids. Well, like when Reinhold said the German, I thought he was going to say some racist old term, you know, that he used to say when he was a kid. I was like, oh, God, blame Reinhold.
No, but like, what I was getting at is more of specifically that like white flight one. That one really bit that my one ass me. Because it felt like it ignores the massive cultural aspect of it, which they didn't touch on at all, in my opinion, of the cultural aspect that gaming was seen as a thing that losers did.
Yep.
That's
Dungeons and Dragons. Gaming, all right. Those are loser things.
I grew up. That's the way it was. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I would get beat up quite often for my proclivities to playing video games. And well, we didn't really have a lot of video games at first when I was growing up, but even then I was playing board games. I was doing nerdy things.
Correct.
Right. And that's how it was across the board. That gaming was seen as the things that nerds did because they couldn't play sports.
The nerd culture won eventually, and here we are. And now they're trying to take it back. They're trying to take it away from us and reinforce the jock culture over the nerds, and I'm fighting it. We've got to fight this head on. Okay, I'm done. Different path here.
Right. Hold fighting a completely different fight right now. But, that was...
They shall not replace us.
Okay.
All right. That, to bleep Brian Holmes. Yeah, okay.
But no, it's more of...
That's going to be a clipped out of context. Mm-hmm. No,
well, here's the thing, too. And I think that a lot I always have this huge argument with the term institutional racism with people, because it's like there's no institutional racism. It's just all about different cultures. I'm like, well, why are the cultures the way they are? Why are they different? Why is there a white culture and a black culture? Why can't there just be a culture? Right. Or a regional culture or something like that. Why is it different? Is it because of genetics, which everybody will not admit to and say, no, that's not true. That's not it. So it's got to be something else, right? Well, the reason is because how these people historically have been treated differently than other people, they develop a different culture, which in itself is institutional racism, right? That's the definition of institution. They're trying to get around it by saying culture, but it leads back to the same thing. And it's a circular argument that they can't get away from, but they still get away with it because nobody calls them on it. But that's the problem you have here, is because you're talking different cultures. You're talking, there's a white culture, black culture, because of these situations, this institutional racism, this redlining and white flight and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But you've also got a class type of thing going on, a class culture going on, and which is, you know, affluent and not. Mm-hmm. But then you've also got jocks versus nerds versus, you know, art culture, people versus goths versus all the emos. You've got all these different types of social groups and cliques that get in there, and those cultures start to go. And then when you start getting into a more connected in society, as we've started to in the 90s when we started having the internet, people realized there were other people like them. So it started reinforcing some of those the clickiness before it finally started to merge out a little bit. People realized that they could be both things. They didn't have to be one or the other, but it took a little while for that to get there. So that's a very basic, my view of the history of it all, which you can all yell at me and say is wrong and flame me if you want to, it's fine, but that's how I see it.
Yeah. I just feel like they completely ignored the cultural aspect of it because gaming and that stuff wasn't even accepted in the white flight communities anyway, let alone in the communities that the black people took over and filled in the gaps, as so to speak, based on white flight, that term. But even when I was in middle school, gaming was seen as the nerd thing.
Yep.
Like nerds play video games. Yep. Like, why would you play? Like, unless it's Madden, 2K, or maybe a fighting game.
Yeah, maybe a fighting
game. But it has to be like Tekken. It had to be Tekken.
Though. Tekken.
It couldn't be any of those cartoony
games. It has to be. Yeah, it's got to be mainly bro stuff.
Yeah,
Right.
And barely Smash Brothers. You get Smash Brothers because only, you know, you could do Smash because your parents probably just got your N64 or the GameCube. So we allow Smash. But yeah, it was this entire way with gaming or just any type of board or D&D gaming back in the day. When I was in middle school and high school, any type of game. If you do any type of niche activity in the United States, 75% of the people in that niche activity are going to be white, no matter what it is. If it's a niche activity, just the way it is. What? Most of the time when I do yoga, majority of the time, it's probably like 2 to 3 black people there, and I'm one of them.
Right. But that's what the reasons for that are probably what he was trying to get at with white flight and all that stuff is that you have more affluence in that. Mm-hmm. In the white space, right? So you when you don't have that, you don't have the time to put into those types of things, those types of endeavors. Like, you're not going to sit down and play D&D when you're trying to hustle a second job to make bill and rent money. You know, you don't have the time for it, is what I'm saying. Yoga, you don't have the time to go and do that and pay for that if you don't have, if you're trying to just, keep a roof over your head. Yeah. And food on a table. So that's why I think there's a disparity there, because there's an underlying issue going on in society that a lot of people don't want to deal with, which I got into recently and I'm not going to get into again. But, so I think from what it sounds like is the guy was trying to make some points, but didn't do a very good job of filling in the details to make you understand where he was coming from or trying to come from, or he didn't even understand it himself. He just kind of made leaps of logic on his own.
It's a leap of logic, it's that classic leap where we can kind of see where he's going with it, but he didn't connect the points. Just like it just seemed like another non sequitur in the video that he has, he's constantly done.
Based on what was in the video, it took you adding all this extra context that you already knew to make that point completely valid or an arguable point in your brain. Like a lot of the stuff that you, like some of the stuff that you brought up, is just a random person wouldn't think about that, especially a lot of people that haven't been around as long as you, Reinhold. Let's be honest.
But there's not too many people who've been around as long as I have, I'm afraid.
But yeah, it's I hate harping on that, the cultural part of it, but I feel like they try to touch on certain random aspects of culture of like, one of the guys was talking about he would go to a friend's house and they had single player RPG games and he didn't know what they were because all he had were multiplayer games because he always had to play with other people. Because for him, gaming was a community thing that they always did together. And that's why he didn't know that's why he didn't play a lot of the single player games. He always played with other people.
Yeah. I don't know. That's just more of like, if you have a bunch of brothers and sisters and your parents are buying your games, they're buying you the multiplayer games. If you have more of a disposable income, like some of the probably what white kids probably had at the time, yeah, they probably could get the other different games that are out there.
Yeah, or they didn't have nearly as many siblings or people that are willing to do these things.
Correct.
To pass the time.
Yeah. If you've got one sibling that's playing a video game, the other one's not, then yeah, you can get a single player game.
Yeah. Why would I waste the money to get Street Fighter if you're going to play by yourself? Here, have Chrono Trigger.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. My friend growing up, he was a single kid. That's how I found out what the heck Resident Evil was. It's like, the heck is this? Single, one child. I get it. This one cool one player game. Awesome. This is fun.
Exactly. The worst multiplayer game is a good game when you have a good friend or it's couch co-op. There's a lot of bad games that are way more fun when you're playing with other people on couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Mortal Kombat, Killer Instinct when I was growing up.
Right. Yeah. And when they did talk about certain aspects of, like, so there are some positive and cultural things they did talk about, but again, they did spread it kind of thin, but they addressed a bunch of different concepts with the positive aspects of it. But he was talking about how, like, it, especially in the West, fighting games is where most of the people, most black people play video games competitively. the fighting community is mostly black people.
Yes. Yes. It's a massive block.
And like some of the best players in a bunch of games are black. Like the most decorated fighting game player in North America, I believe, his name is Sonic Fox. He is a black furry mm-hmm. who plays Dragon Ball FighterZ, Mortal Kombat, a bunch of other games. He's a bunch of the anime fighting games because that's what he enjoys and what he plays into.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's in a lot of niche things and he's mm-hmm. probably like the niche black guy there most majority of the times. Yeah. And I think one thing that they touched on a little bit too which they kind of just brushed over, just kind of like just stepped over, is the infighting within the black community. Like if you were into this, because you were called a nerd, or I think was the person interviewing Kaylee was talking about, you don't sound black enough. You don't know, quote, black. And I was like, yeah, white people are doing that to you. That's other black people doing that to you. Let's call it.
Yeah. Black nerd scat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That's trauma I had growing up. My sister's like, well, I don't know why the people that affect you. It's like, it still affects me. It's like, no one's saying that now. Bull crap. And most people who say that now are like, it's only now I'm an adult. I hear white people saying it.
I think we've come back to it. So I think there was a time where we were trying to fight and stamp a lot of that stuff out, and then people started saying, well, it's mostly gone. If we just start talking about it, it'll go away. And that's not how it works. And now it's coming back in a vengeance. Like I was going to mention earlier, it's probably a good time to do that. I was modding for a Twitch streamer. His name was OPSET.
His name dropped.
And yeah. He was a real big rising star. He started playing. He was really good H1Z1, very good shot. Immediately kind of blew up. When we became partner, his partner rep decided to really pump him up because he was a younger black kid. And I was modding his channel at this point, helping him out. They threw him on the front page, right, of Twitch. Yeah. The amount of modding I had to do that day of stuff that was just not acceptable,
right,
was insane. I was busy for 3 hours just deleting and kicking out hundreds of people saying some of the worst stuff just because it was a black kid on the front page of Twitch.
But that's the anonymity part of it that they kind of touched on, that they made it too. I feel like they made it too insular with the concept of the anonymity and people saying whatever they want because they're anonymous. Where they basically said, "Well, it bred this group of people that are willing to say these things to each other." It's like, no, they just choose to say these things because they're anonymous, because they feel like they won't get repercussions for saying the thing they're not supposed to say.
Right. Yeah, and the media and everything else that shows like, hey, this is if you're very young, you don't know, like, yeah, this low casual crap trolling, this will disturb this ticks them off. I can really get into the skin and get this word across. And they've developed all these weird, awful techniques. I've received that before in my Twitch rooms when I streamed on Twitch. It's half the reason why if I ever try to stream Rumble, I have to make sure I've got a mod on standby too. Because some of these platforms do harbor some of the most awful trolls and won't just ban them outright off their platform. Because these people think this thing is funny. It's like, it's not funny. I don't find it funny. I get on your skin. Cool. You're under my skin. Get out of here. Go away. I'm getting close to 40-year-old. I deserve better trolls. Okay. Been online for way too long. I deserve higher quality.
I need you to criticize my skill, not my skin color.
Exactly.
I'm still reminded of the time when we did the show and you let people jump in the Discord and join in.
Yeah.
One night.
treat them like an adult. Treat them like an adult.
But going back to like the one of the other reasons I feel like that's been reoccurring back into the culture is because gaming got absorbed into the zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. Like, video gaming got absorbed into the zeitgeist, yep. And now the new thing is trying to try to pull itself into the zeitgeist to try to be absorbed. And that is anime.
Yes.
And the only one that's been absorbed fully into the zeitgeist is Dragon Ball Z. Mm-hmm. And that's just accepted by almost every culture. I have the joke that if you want to find what anime people enjoy in the hood, there it's Dragon Ball Z. You'll find at least one Goku shirt around mm-hmm. wherever you go.
I'm seeing a lot of One Piece lately, like in the general culture mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. Is it not getting to that other side of the fence that I don't get to spend a lot of time around?
Well, One Piece is slowly going into that group, but it's nothing is as synonymous as Dragon Ball Z. Correct. Literally, there are cereal boxes in the grocery store with Dragon Ball Z characters on it, and Dragon Ball Z hasn't been on the air for like 20 years.
Yep.
Z, as it is, 20 years.
20 years, yeah. Future Trunks, purple hair, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Yes, exactly.
What the hell?
And it's just like... If you go back, like when it was airing, people would be like, "What are you watching this stupid cartoon bullshit for?"
What about Pokemon? Is that not an anime or is that a game? I don't know if I know the origins.
It was a game that became an anime because they were like an anime arm, but.
It was a knockoff of Magic the Gathering, right? So that's how it got started.
But the concept of it becoming media focused as it is, it's just Pokemon is kind of a overall accepted medium kind of thing that even though you won't find a lot of people playing it or focusing in on it, people just know of it. Especially like the original 150, as Harry knows, there's like a 1,000 Pokemon, and Harry probably knows the first 150 and maybe like 5 other ones. But those are the ones that are in the culture. The original 150, fire, red and blue, red and blue are the ones that people know of, and Pikachu, because Pikachu's everywhere.
I have to say there, I think there's been strides in the nerd culture as far as that goes. You now have the new host of Actually is Black. So there's progress right there, right?
I always hate the thing like, hey, we got this person here, it's progress. I don't care.
And I think he's gay too. I think that's like 2 ticks of the box. I don't know. We have to look and see.
We're just ticking boxes off. I hate the checking. The boxes off.
What about is the guy good or not? How about that? How about we just focus on?
Oh, you can't say that now. You can't say that now. You can't say that. I can say that.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
Well, we can say that. We can say that Kevin Hart's a bad
role. So what you're saying is that you people can say that.
Whoa!
Right.
What do you mean?
Slow down, right?
Hop along, kangaroo.
Jack. You saw my wife was threatening to take your headphones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I looked up a pair for you for the.
They got bunny ear ones now.
Mm-hmm. There's like a bunch of things that, like, because that video is like an hour long and there's a bunch of things that he jumps around and talks about. There's certain aspects, like, he was talking about how he felt that there wasn't like representation for certain communities based on games. So, like, he was talking specifically about Assassin's Creed Black Flag. This was set in the Caribbean. He felt like there wasn't enough, you know, black representation in that game.
Considering where it was located at.
Right.
Which I have no argument with, you know. Mm-hmm. Again, makes this sense. Is what I mean. There are solid points that they're mixed in point. Here somewhere. But in my brain, they also go with like, well, why are all black people villains when they're not all villains, but they like to say that that's one of their major representations, or why don't we have black stories? And then I can go and find a bunch of games that are black stories, but they're saying that they have no games for their kids to play that right. are black stories.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the persons in there was talking about how like it's 2024 and there's no black story, like main characters that their kids can play, while in the same video talking about Miles Morales.
Yeah. which is funny. Yeah.
It's kind of like, bro, you know, like granted it was clipped. Maybe that was clipped before.
Yeah. Maybe it was
happened. Don't know.
Maybe he put it in the wrong order.
Right.
He put it in the wrong order, but
give grace. Yep. Grace has been given.
And the
well, you had a non-white Knight Rider or a Ghost Rider for a long time, right? I mean, Robbie Reyes, I mean, he wasn't black, mm-hmm. but he was still not white.
We're talking about black video.
Talking about black now. We're not talking about just anti-white. Okay, I see.
Yeah. But I get where you're coming from.
Leave me out of it. I get it.
Yeah. I get where you're coming from, Reinhold. But
yeah.
But then they also
Forspoken this year, right? Was it Forspoken?
That was last year, sir.
And, oh, sorry.
And that was cringe, so we don't talk about that. but they also went through a process of overgeneralizing certain things of why does every black character in a fighting game have to dance
or play basketball?
Right.
And it's every fighter in every game dance. In some way, I mean, they all have modes, right?
No, he meant that most of their fighting styles are dances. So Eddie Gordo from Tekken, mm-hmm. he does capoeira, is dancing. So why do they all do dancing when I'm sitting there just Balrog's right there? You know, this.
That's true. Balrog is right there.
Awesome. Balrog is literally right there. You got Dudley, who's also right there.
Yeah. It's kind of it's bro, right there. What are you
Raven?
Talking?
You got Raven from the Tekken games, who's a fucking ninja, who's a legit ninja.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, white people have Raiden, and that's pretty much it, right?
Whoa, how dare you? How dare you erase Asian cultures there?
Yeah. You get
guys. I didn't erase Asian culture. The movie made Asian
culture. You don't even get the movie removed Guile from you as well.
That's true.
The movie so removed I still, Guile from I grew up,
as well. This is what I say. I grew up watching that god awful what was the name of that TV show with Carradine walking through the West as an Asian guy.
Okay. Also, King of Lion Rock says, also, every black character has the Miles Morales haircut.
Well, how dare you? It's not the Miles Morales haircut. It is the Killmonger haircut, sir. That's what it is that they decided to put on every character.
Black people, you get one hairstyle per decade, okay? For each game. You get afro, then you get dreads, then fades. That's all you get.
Don't forget Kid and Play, that high top.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's in every game. Game has that one.
Every game should have
that. I will say there are plenty of I do agree that there is a wide variety of the characters that are black that do a lot of dancing in their character design. Because you do have Eddie Gordo, and when they got rid of Eddie Gordo, they really wanted they had to put in a character that is Eddie Gordo, so they put Christy in it, which is another black character that did it. And you know, DJ from Tekken, not Tekken, from Street Fighter, does dance and stuff. Mm-hmm. So
but to be there fair,
is some of them that is accurate, but I feel it's oversimplifying the subject.
To be fair, they want to have their games realistic, and they can't have the white characters dancing because that's not going to work out, right?
That's not realistic.
Nobody's going to believe that.
Whoa. There's a ballerina, sir. She does dance. Thank you very much. She's in the most recent Street Fighter game.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm having too much fun with this. I should be more serious. Let's focus on serious.
Fake old gamer Reinhold.
Not knowing that
I don't do fighting games, man. It's not my culture.
Wow, Reinhold.
Oh, oh my God.
But yeah, I
just want to make it clear that I am making jokes here.
Yeah, of course.
Just in case somebody stumbles on this thing.
Right.
I'm being highly insensitive. Being
completely out of context. But like,
right, hold, you're in charge of getting these bathroom right back.
Oh, okay, now let's talk about it.
Yeah. But like that,
the replacements.
Oh my god, let's not do that one. Moving on from that concept. But it also feels like they were focusing solely on the concept of racism towards black people in gaming, where they don't actually touch on a lot of the other representations of other communities, and they didn't go out of their way to talk to any of most of the other ones of like a lot
But that was something you said about it, that you wanted them to stay within the
right, exactly, confine
that they were talking about, right?
Right. So instead of branching out and going to so many different places for it. And
but here's the thing, I think that they fail when they do that, when they narrow it down to that focus, is that you can't really look at the overall issue, because it's not just, you know, it's not just a black thing. You know what I'm saying? There are other
completely agree
races that have the same issues. There's genders that have issues, and it sometimes all kind of melds together based off of who's instigating the issues, as opposed to who's receiving the issues.
I totally understand that, but for me in particular, with the video specifically talking about racism and then going into talking about how, you know, trans people identify themselves using avatars and VR games and how that's positive for the community.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So you're saying they didn't stay in the narrow confines. They expanded out.
They kept talking about other things that weren't this topic that they wanted to talk about, which I felt like that if they would have stayed in this space, they could have talked about a lot more things and compared to just
made, you know, and made this like part one of the series on discrimination within gaming culture or whatever.
Right. It's like there's a large chunk of this video that I'm not even going to talk about, that I personally not even touching on, because there's like 20 minutes where he talks about Gamergate and all of that
Gamergate.
He talks about all of that stuff, but I'm not even going to, I purposely chose not to talk about that because there's a lot of it that I don't want to, you know, delve into, because I feel like I feel like that is a discussion that has a lot of emotions on both sides.
Well, like, it's
the reason we have Trump. So
legit. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. but it's because the lessons that weren't learned during Gamergate, you know, those lessons weren't learned. That's the reason why. It's not that a bunch of like I hate the narrative, like a bunch of white trolls got together and they got 70-80 million votes. Yeah, that makes perfect effing sense.
But like, not even talking about that stuff, if we're going to address any of it, is the fact that one of the people he interviewed completely negated his argument of racism in games by basically making it an even more small argument, because they interviewed and was like, well, Gamergate wasn't really about racism. It was just about white women in particular, because when black women talked about things, they shut the black women out. And so it was actually about white versus black instead of it being about this. One of the persons they interviewed completely took it out of the context or even made it even more racist based on what they were trying to argue. So for me, it's felt like there was this, that's one of the issues about them going so shotgun widespread, because it feels like people that they're talking to are nullifying what other people are saying in their own video, while also still talking about the same thing.
Which is not a bad thing if you acknowledge it and talk about how the nuance is going to be an issue with this whole thing. It's nebulous. It's not a straight clear cut. And see, there's two different sides of it. And here's different experiences that people have. If you say that, that's fine. But if you don't, if you just say, hey, this person, and then this person is the one we're going to talk about going forward, then that's just leave it to the side. You're not doing a good service, in my opinion.
Right. And so for me, that's
trying to make Gamergate about white and black. That sounds like you're trying to force something into, like, you're getting left out on the discrimination train. You want to stick your nose in. That's what it sounded like to me by saying that.
Right. That makes again, sense. Again, that's why I even though it's like 20 minutes of the video, I basically I've spent maybe 5 minutes talking about that because I feel like there's other things to talk about. Because I feel like that whole chunk of that video has
waste of time.
So many things that are just either both contradictory to themselves or correct. They're arguing points that are either obvious or nebulous that you can't really pinpoint down, so they're just spending a lot of time talking around each other.
Yeah, yeah. And I really don't think they also had a good grasp of Gamergate anyways. They were bringing out, they were showcasing and bringing up things that happened well after Gamergate. Like, they put up Jeremy Handler from The Quartering. I don't agree with most of his politics up there, but he was not a Gamergater. You know, he did not participate in that. So I don't why we're like, Gamergate, just throw his picture up there. I was like, okay, so you're insinuating there are tons of creators in the space that were part of Gamergate that you could have thrown up there, but you put his face up there for some reason. You know, like you're either you didn't research this or you just kind of just typed in and pulled something up. And I just found that as egregious, you know.
But yeah, that I didn't even touch on that part of that video because that's a whole section that I felt like there's a lot to discuss there. And I feel like that really didn't go with the topic of the video to begin with, which was racism in games.
Correct. Yeah.
So
yeah, the whole Gamergate thing just seemed like we were trying to get things for SEO. Let's throw this in here so we can put that in the title. And then they threw like Nancy Pelosi and they're like, we're just trying to throw SEO in this stupid video so we can use it for hashtags and algorithms.
Or they really,
and it kind of worked because it came on my radar.
Yeah, or they just didn't.
It's possible that they never understood what Gamergate was about. And the different sides of that whole thing. And
correct.
Right. But it's also one of those things of when he opens his video of "Welcome back to Everything is Racist." I mean, everything. I'm not exaggerating. Everything is racist.
Right. And then and didn't want to also acknowledge just the crap takes that Nina Sarkeesian had. You know, did she have some truthful ones? Heck yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. She had some things these are legitimate criticism. And then she had some lot of that's a shit take. You're awful. Where did you even get this thing?
Right. But I feel like that's for all sides, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. When anybody has an opinion of things, there's shit takes and good takes. But a lot of people only will stick to one or the other, depending on their opinion on the person.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people are willing to give the flowers to a person who made an opinion that they enjoy when they made an opinion that they don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's just how society works. That's just how people are as human beings. But in general, I felt like this, while there were some points that they made that I felt like could have been significantly elaborated on and talked about more, instead of it being about racism in games, it was discrimination of all types in gaming, but abridged.
Yeah, pretty much. Like an abridged title like that, yeah.
Was it just called White People Suck? Was that what they were going for, maybe?
Some of it was White People Suck. White people are in the way. I think a lot of it, what it got me was the big arguments a lot of white racists really have against black people is that they're not very communal, which I always thought was weird. They always view black people as not very communal. That's why they are the way they are. And then I watched this video and they talk about how white people aren't very communal. Only black people are communal. I'm like, wow. So to me, when I hear stuff like that, I'm like, I've heard this argument before, but from a white guy, a racist white guy. Now I'm hearing it from a black guy. Interesting. You know?
Well, I mean,
Ryan was like, yeah, I've heard that argument.
That's just cultural viewpoints and things. Like when they were openly saying that they felt like they played games with other, black people all the time because not all of them could afford consoles. They had to go to other people's houses to play the consoles they didn't have, and et cetera, et cetera, which, is a thing that happened.
Hey, people in the suburbs did the same damn thing. But, it was only until the later aughts that people had both consoles. Even South Park held the whole thing. Listen, we all have to pick the same console so we can play together, especially online with crossplay. There was no really much crossplay on some of the consoles. So everyone either had the exact same console or they had different ones. And that's only because of online play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, when I was growing up, it was my mother would go to visit a friend or a relative, and they had kids my age, and we all would get together and play in whatever's house we were in mm-hmm. with whatever we had. And if it was a video game, it was great. If not, it was board games or it was other toys or whatever. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. So, but I grew up in the wonder years of the X-Gens, where we were riding bikes off of cliffs and stuff that, you know, basically we were just told to go play and come back before dark, and nobody knew what we were doing. as far as gaming goes, though, you go to, you know, the other people's houses and you hang out and you find out what they had, and it became kind of a, you know, status thing where, oh, I've got this game, where this person doesn't have that game, stuff like that. Yep. And there's issues there, but it was still, when you like the people you're hanging out with, it was just a lot of fun going, oh, we can get over to their house because they've got this game and I haven't played mm-hmm. in a while, and it's gonna be fun to play with them on this game.
So, right.
Yep.
Anyway,
I played a bunch of games that way as well.
Yeah. And
I think a lot of people have, and
I don't want to like disparage like the aspect of, because my friends did that too. I was the friend of the PlayStation, I had a friend of the Dreamcast. You know, we coordinated also which consoles we were asking for. Yeah, did that too.
I did Intellivision, which was the more superior. But the thing is that a lot of people have different experiences, even in the same culture, right? So you could have people go, well, the white people weren't as communal, or the black people weren't as this. And it's like, your experience of the people who you were around maybe was that, but that mm-hmm. may not necessarily be the general understanding throughout other people, right? So I think a lot of people fall into that. Well, this is the way it was for me. And they can't go, what was it like for other people, and learn empathically that there are other experiences out there that they may not have. Theirs may not be the truth for everyone. Might be the truth for them, but it's not the truth for everyone.
Well, right. Well, Wicked Kinder wants to know, have you taken that bike off any sweet ramps?
There are some stories I can tell.
We had the long handlebars
on the banana seat bites. Oh, man.
This is when we find out
those things up over those rams. I'd sweet 6 feet air. You know, I mean, it's just great.
This is when we find out which teeth is fake.
that's where Reinhold goes, and that's where I
find out how many brothers never made it, because you know that was the thing, is everybody's like, we all survived it because we were Gen X, we survived it. I'm like, yeah, you guys did. There was a lot that didn't. You need to calm down about that. We don't talk about that a little bit.
This is how I met my friend. His last name was Knievel.
So I remember talking to my brother. We had the bike upside down, and I was oiling it and just mm-hmm. running the wheel, you know, mm-hmm. with the pedal.
You can, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, put your finger right there. And he put his finger in there, and it went around the sprocket. And there was a trip to the hospital. And I talked him into going down a slide backwards in the park when we had slides in the park on slabs of concrete. And he got scared, grabbed the whole side, and fell off Superman style and broke his arm. So that was I got in trouble for that. We survived. But let me tell you. Was it for lack of trying not to?
Reinhold out here talking about his past is we just threw ourselves, we just ragged on ourselves at things. It's all what happened, you know.
I'm bored. Let's go to the hospital.
Now we go out and, you know the Stand By Me movie where they go and look for a dead body. That's what we did. That's the stuff that we did as kids, because we didn't have like supervision. They're like, just go get away from us.
Like, back in the evening. Reynolds like, I've seen so many dead bodies. You have no idea.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, that's some of the neighborhood gets upset with me because I just kind of like toss my daughter outside and go do something. It was like, poops, she's fine. There's nothing in here. She's fine. Anything that can happen here, nothing I can protect her from anyway.
Yeah, I remember somebody was saying that our parents were kind of naive. They thought we were just riding around the block. We'd be 5-10 miles down the road checking out stuff at the railroad track. So we were doing some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Because we knew we didn't have to be back for hours.
Yeah. I remember the time that my mom figured out how to use the bus system to get downtown to go to, like, well, yeah, get to the mall and stuff like that. Flipped out.
Like, you were at the mall?
Figured it out. No supervision. I had a bicycle. I didn't know how to put the bike on the little bike ramp on the bus. Someone had to show me how to do it. I'm like, cool.
Thanks.
Let's go. That's back when Indy was safe. Okay. Not now. Okay. Dangerous now.
I literally cannot remember the last time I went downtown, just to let you know.
It's dangerous.
My grandmother
got robbed five times.
My grandmother lived on Washington and Rural. Mm-hmm. That's where I kind of grew up, around that area. So it was not the same then as it is now.
Yeah, no. I mean,
it's improved.
I know exactly where
there was a time.
Okay, so
I lived in that area when it was in the bad times.
Yeah,
we would get on a bus and ride down to Eastgate Mall when that still existed.
It's technically still there.
Well, there was that other strip mall right before Eastgate on mm-hmm. Washington.
Yep,
it's still technically there, but it's not like a real mall anymore. We used to go there and go to the Ben Franklin.
Okay,
that's where my grandmother would take us and buy us little wooden airplanes that we'd make, and we could rubber band and throw them, gliders and stuff.
Do you ever go to that Ryan's all you can eat buffet that was there by Eastgate?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. Oh, I spent a lot of time at Eastgate. That's where I saw Batman. That's where I saw Star Wars. That's where
I saw
which Batman?
The Batman. Michael Keaton. What are you talking about? There's no other Batman.
When did they play Star Wars? I remember them doing Batman.
Star Wars is 77.
But probably not the same Batman movie.
All the rest of them are Batman 2 or Batman and this and Batman and Robin and Batman and this and all different. There's only one Batman.
Yeah. Did you ever go to Builder Square that was there? Anyway, so we start more. Talking more about like old East Side.
I spent so much time at Eastgate Mall. Let me tell you, that was like the place we used to go all the time.
Yeah, they had the good arcade too. Eastgate Mall.
Exactly. What do you think? I spent all my childhood.
Yeah. My mom had
it. That's the thing is, you guys grew up playing consoles with other people and playing multiplayer games with other people. I grew up, it was pinball, and then Pong came out, and then Space Invaders and Asteroids. We played single player. Mm-hmm. Arcade games.
Yeah. My mom had to
put your quarter up to get your turn. Mm-hmm. You didn't play together. Now they started eventually doing two player, three player. You could play co-op, stuff like that. But originally those were single player games that I grew up playing. Pinball is a single player game. You have to take turns. It was different. It was a different time.
It's different.
And you can only play the pinball in the pool halls.
Well, no. Oh, yeah, and then they got to the arcades. That's how I started playing. Yeah, because my mom would take me to the arcade so she could play pinball.
And when I grew up, you played pinball around a bunch of people who were in the pool hall.
Yeah. Which I don't want to know or any stories of my mom drinking in pool halls playing pinball.
I won so much money on those pinball games.
Does Jackie know about the arcade up in...
What? Up in
the arcade on Northside?
Hmm?
The vintage arcade store?
Well, what do you mean? You know, Jackie doesn't live here with us.
Oh, well, I didn't know where she lives. I'm just saying. There's places like that everywhere.
Yeah, Jackie lives with the weird people. You know, the weird ones up north with the weirdness. The vintage baby. Yeah, she's up
there. Heather used to manage the Eastgate arcade when she was younger.
Oh.
So she was probably managing it while you were there playing there.
Probably. Yeah, I know. I probably put Heather and my mom in the room. They probably know each other. We'll probably figure it out. Hey, I know you.
I would be surprised. I mean, her stepdad, was really big in that community, Hallville. That sort of thing.
So, well, Jack, if you ever come back down here to civilize people here in Indy, we have tons of, I'll take you to tons of arcades. We have arcade bars, just regular arcades. Maybe do a pizza party. It'd be fine.
Yeah, someone downtown, off the east side, there was a I went to an emergency dentist down there last year or 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. There's an arcade bar. And I'm like, when did this come in? What is this? This is, why am I not hearing about this?
Yeah. Which, the one in Virginia or the other one?
Yeah. I think the one in Virginia. Yeah.
Yeah. Tappers. That was fun. I've walked there drunk from there to go to Goth Night. A lot of fun. All right. Before this episode gets too long in the tooth and we end up doxing our favorite hangout places.
Sorry.
Jackie's kids with the VR stuff like that. That was really, so the video did mention some VR stuff, and I'll end with this, which, you know, like, especially with ADA compliance, the community itself is also helping people out who are have certain disabilities to be able to interact inside a VR chat. The VR chat is actually, there is a sign language classes in schools so you can go inside a VR chat and learn how to sign. And it's also different because of also the limitations of the hardware and everything. And it's an amazing... Thea from the virtual reality show did a great video on it, more than I could probably do in the next, more justice I could do in the next few minutes when I'm trying to do this. But go watch her stuff, amazing content.
They're also helping autistic kids with VR nowadays.
Yep,
they're finding that that has a real good benefit to getting them to be more, you know, in and aware as opposed to the outside world. So
But again, as I said, I feel like that could have had its own video dedicated to it. That wasn't the, hey, this is the racist
while you're video. Watching. Yeah, it's not why you tuned in. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Anyways.
If I tune into a Jordan Peterson, you know, video and they start talking about, you know, Star Wars or something. I mean, he's not what it's about. That's not why you go see him. talking about actually caring about other people, that would be out of place for that kind of video. I was trying to make a joke. I just didn't get there.
He tried.
Anyways, if you made it this long in an episode, you are a true fan, and we thank you, especially to all our monthly key holders. We appreciate you guys, because you could be listening to anything else in the world, but you decided to listen to this, and you are awesome. This is a live podcast recorded on Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which I can say that for a few more weeks. come hang out with us live. It's a lot of fun. We chat, hang out with the audience, come hang out with us. If not, the 300 plus of you now, getting closer to 350, that you download this podcast weekly. Thank you. You guys are amazing.
Why?
You guys are amazing.
Please stop listening because of my jokes tonight.
Oh, Jackie, thanks for the sub. Yeah. Oh, it was a sub or a bit.
I have no idea
what that bits. Is. Yeah, it was a bit. I heard the sound wrong. Yeah.
I have no idea what that is, Heather. Just saying.
But you please come hang out with us live on twitch.tv/wearelibertarians with letter R, or you can find us on youtube.com/wearelibertarians. You can also find us on the Facebook page, so you can actually stream to the Facebook page. And we'll go back to Rumble eventually, I promise. Anyways, everybody, say goodbye.
Bye, everybody.